On the other hand, the fact that he was involved in Hector's assassination cuts both ways, the intendant thought. He can't afford for me to be taken and forced to talk any more than I can afford for him to be taken. So the two of us have an excellent reason to look after one another, don't we? And that, ironically, makes him the most reliable agent I have. And there were certain advantages to relying on a professional. Whatever his other faults, Kamming was scarcely going to be betrayed into a fatal misstep by zealotry. And that was more than could be said for some of Wyman's more recently recruited agents. People like Patrick Henry had plenty of enthusiasm, fueled all too often by bitter resentment and hatred. But that same enthusiasm could make them hard to control, which was the main reason Wyman had been so careful to maintain his own anonymity where they were concerned. Henry was one of the few exceptions to the rule, but he also thought the intendant had long since escaped from the city. That was one of the reasons Wyman had put Kamming in charge of managing his contacts with Henry's group. It was also one of the reasons he'd decided to trust Kamming to decide who to use for the current operation. The intendant had selected the Inquisitor to be entrusted with the mission, but he'd left it to Kamming to choose who would provide what the assassin called the muscle to actually accomplish it. Kamming was far more familiar with the individual agents he'd recruited, with their capabilities and their personalities and motivations, than Wyman was. And Wyman was confident Kamming had used every one of his considerable talents to make sure none of those agents were in a position to lead the authorities back to him, which in turn meant they weren't in a position to lead those same authorities back to Wyman either. And that's not a minor consideration where this one is concerned, the intendant reflected grimly. The truth was that at least a tiny part of him regretted having ordered Father Timon's kidnapping and execution. Of course, it was only a tiny part, given how utterly the priest's own actions had condemned him. He was scarcely the only member of the clergy to have damned himself by deserting to the Church of Caris. Yet despite his relatively junior ecclesiastic rank, he'd emerged as a clear leader of the reformist traitors here in Coruscant. For himself, Wyman had frequently enjoyed Father Timon's sermons back before the Carisian invasion. The priest had always been an inspired preacher, with a genuine gift for reaching his congregation, for reaching out beyond his own congregation, in fact. Even before the invasion, on the other hand, Wyman had been aware of how Hoskins chafed under Bishop Executor Thomas's discipline. Indeed, his righteous indignation, his burning desire to denounce the corruptors in the temple, had brought him to the Inquisition's attention more than once. He'd found himself in Wyman's office on several occasions, and Wyman doubted Hoskins could have been in any doubt about how Coruscant's intendant felt about his arrogance in daring to judge the actions of the vicarate. Only the fact that he'd discharged all his other priestly duties so well and been wise enough to keep his mouth shut about those private concerns of his had prevented him from being removed from St. Catherine's on at least two occasions. So Wyman had been less than surprised when Hoskins betrayed his vows to Mother Church and gave his allegiance to the Caris-spawned abomination. What had surprised him, however, was the vigor and the eloquence Hoskins had brought to his betrayal, and how effective a traitor he'd proven. He'd become the core of the small but steadily growing clique of churchmen who'd labeled themselves reformists and openly attacked Mother Church at every step. That was bad enough. Even worse, however, was the way in which those reformists were concentrated here in Manchir. Their churches, by and large, ministered to the city's common folk, and that made them dangerous. By legitimizing the Church of Caris among the capital's commoners, they lent legitimacy to the Empire of Caris as well, and the people who were listening to them were the very people Wyman needed to reach if he was going to effectively challenge the occupation's control of the capital. Despite his own bitter fury at Hoskins' actions, Wyman had never believed the priest had betrayed his vows out of personal ambition or greed. No, it was even worse than that, unfortunately. Ambition might have been worked with, and greed might have been appealed to. But the arrogance of self-justified indignation, the sheer effrontery of a man who could set his own faith, his own isolated interpretation of the writ, against the might and the majesty of God's own church, those were something else again. Hoskins didn't give a damn about personal power or wealth or luxury. That was precisely what had made him so effective, so dangerous. Yet however he might dress it up for his congregation's consumption, however skillfully he might twist the writ to make it seem to support his own apostasy, and however the first breach in his own faith might have pierced the defenses of his soul, the man had given himself wholly over into Shanwei's service now. He had turned his back upon God and the vicarate, and that was why Wyman could scarcely pretend he felt any true regret at having ordered that the traitor be eliminated. And eliminated in a fashion that's going to give the rest of his reformist colleagues reason to reconsider their apostasy. The intendant's jaw tightened. From Cummins' report, we can count on this A-mail to do just that. And he doesn't have any idea at all that I gave the order. For that matter, neither does Father Daishan. Unlike A-mail, Father Daishan Zacho knew exactly who Adrian Wyman was, since he'd worked directly for him for over 6 years. But Zacho had excellent reason to believe Wyman had gotten out of Manchir with Bishop Executor Thomas, since Wyman had specifically told Zacho he was going to do exactly that. So, even in the unlikely event that he and A-mail were both taken by the authorities, Zacho couldn't lead those authorities back to St. Justin's. And of all the inquisitors who had been assigned to Coruscant, Zacho was the least likely to hesitate for a moment over the execution of an apostate priest. "I can't pretend I'm sorry it had to be done," the ex-intendant admitted. "And at least I had the right people in place to see to it." He finished Cummings' report, then found himself yawning hugely as he set it aside. "Enough. I'm going to start making mistakes out of simple fatigue if I keep this up. Time to get some sleep." He yawned again. "Tomorrow's another day. For some of us, at least."